Welcome to the Restaurant Realty in 10. 10 minutes of uncensored straight talk for restaurant entrepreneurs. Twice weekly, the Restaurant Realty in 10 dives into restaurant operations, facilities, real estate, and investments. Welcome to the Restaurant Realty in 10. This is your host, Michael Caro. And we've got Don Terrio with Kesko. That's Kitchen Equipment and Supply into the sound booth. Don, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Now, Don, you've done this with me before, but today we're going to focus on designing a kitchen in a restaurant that is second generation. And what that means is it's already been a restaurant before. The previous restaurant is no longer there. A new entrepreneur is going to take over the space and they want to make it their space, their cuisine. So we're going to pick it up from there. We've already done a show previously on new restaurant spaces, but this is second generation space. So Don, start off by telling us what is unique about taking over a previous restaurant space from your vantage point.
The owner of the space that was a restaurant at one time, he's the most important person that we can gather information from. Normally, depending on his funding sources and his availability to buy new equipment, however that happens to be with him specifically, we want to find out if he wants to use the existing equipment that's there, primarily the exhaust hood system, the walk-in cooler and freezer, and try to locate the other equipment associated with the plumbing and the utilities that is already existing and to incorporate that into the plans.
All right. And so based on that restaurant infrastructure, and by the way, that's also what I try to convince a lot of my clients to go into, we can typically save a significant amount of money, not by using the old equipment, other than what I consider infrastructure items like the hood, walk-in, all those sinks that can be of great value when you don't have to buy brand new. So let's assume that you go through each of these systems and they check out, but let's talk about each of them for just a moment. What is the walk-in cooler and the walk-in freezer? What are the main issues that you find with older equipment like that a new owner needs to be aware of?
The equipment has to be able to maintain proper temperatures to satisfy the food inspector. And usually the walk-in cooler freezer panels can be reused or reskinned, which we have done in several areas. But the refrigeration system has to be capable of maintaining 34 degree holding temperature for a cooler and 0 to -10 on a freezer.
Okay. And so what about hood systems? Do they typically maintain themselves pretty well over time, or do you see that their compressors go out, or, you know, maybe you always recommend we do a full renovation and redo all the belts and hoses and things of that nature?
The exhaust hood system is a primary part of this building. The fire marshal will definitely inspect the hood system and its capability to extract grease-laden vapors, which would include his exhaust fan that's either on the roof or the vertical wall outside. His return air system has to be in working condition at least, but most importantly, his fire suppression system has got to be currently accredited and verified in working condition. Because without a current approved listing on that fire suppression system, the customer will not obtain his certificate of occupancy.
So now you go into this old building. You see that, yeah, we can use that hood system, we can use the walk-in, we can use the current sinks. And so now you get into the design. What challenges do you typically face working within the walls that are currently there? Or I presume there is also times that you recommend, hey, listen, if we move this wall 4 feet, you know. So what challenges do you typically face going into an older facility?
The production of his menu is the criteria that is above everything else. Does this space have the capability of producing his menu for the certain number of seats he's going to have to satisfy his return on investment? Serious considerations have to be discussed. For instance, the ingredients of his menu and how this food is to be stored. If the refrigeration is of adequate space, if his walk-in freezer is adequate space, does he have a bar in the place where he needs to upsize his ice machine? And all of these are serious considerations to help him become a successful operation.
That's great information. Some of those things I would not have thought about. You know, I sell and lease a lot of second-generation restaurant spaces, and you know, a lot of those factors I haven't even considered. So I'm definitely learning stuff today
well,
with you.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Don, if you're able to use the existing space, let's discuss some of the challenges with getting it approved through either the health inspector, or if you have electrical and plumbing issues, new permits may have to be pulled on those. Walk me through some of the challenges that you face in redoing an existing building with the plans being submitted to the municipality.
In our selection of equipment process, the utilities that have to be provided to that piece of equipment, the customer may not have, for instance, the sufficient electrical supply voltage going to a steamer, for instance, and he may have to rewire his circuit breaker panel. When that happens, normally the electrical contractor appointed for the job will have to acquire a permit to run new wiring just for that one piece of equipment.
Gotcha.
Sometimes if it's not necessary to rework the existing wiring, then a permit may not be required. It all depends on the inspector.
Okay. And I presume it's the same thing if you had to add certain plumbing and things of that nature.
Exactly.
And if you add roof penetrations, I know that anytime you touch a roof, at least in this area, you've got to get that. Here's a bit of advice. Have your roofer, especially if the roof is under warranty, have that same roofer make the roof penetration and seal it up.
Absolutely.
So would that happen? They would come cut the hole. You might then run whatever piece of equipment that would go through the roof, and then they would then seal it up. Is that the process?
That's correct. The roofing contractor would make the roof penetration. Then the utilities would be installed, talking about refrigeration lines or electrical, through that roof penetration. And then the roofing contractor comes back after the work is done and reseals that roof.
And then that also is a great opportunity to maintain the warranty.
Exactly. For the building owner.
That's right. That's right. Well, and a lot of leases are triple net, so the tenant is responsible for, especially if there's a roof penetration, they're going to be responsible for any leaks in the future. Don, talk to me about some of the primary questions that a entrepreneur, new restaurant owner should be asking either their broker, the landlord, property owner, whomever, to really understand what they're getting into.
The most important thing that we are involved in as an equipment dealer, what utilities are provided to operate this equipment as per manufacturer specifications. That's the number one thing that as a dealer we need to find out. What has he got there, and if the existing utilities will be sufficient to provide enough power and plumbing and hot and cold water necessary to operate this equipment. The next important thing that we ask, can we go and see, can we actually visit the site to see what condition, for instance, are the floors in? The floors have got to be in good enough condition to meet the Board of Health specifications as it regards to cracks in the tile or the floor is not sanitary enough to keep clean. And other things, wall conditions, and of course, the ceiling and lighting, for instance, we all make comments about that as part of our inspection that the owner has to consider.
And for those of you who don't know, what Don's referring to is everything has to be washable surface in the kitchen. So a lot of times you'll have FRP on the walls, which is sold in 4x8 sheets. What is FRP? Is it like a plastic?
Fiberglass reinforced panels.
Well, there it is. Now I know what FRP stands for. So you have these FRP on the walls, and then your ceilings are typically coated in plastic. So in the normal part of a restaurant or an office, you might see these foam 2x4 or 2x2 tiles. But once they get into the kitchen, they have to be a washable surface. So some will actually be coated in a vinyl. And then I've seen more recent ones that they don't actually have the thickness. They're just a polyurethane panel, like a piece of plastic, that can be cut in its washable surface.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the inspectors have to note what is the characteristics of the kitchen, of the site, and what condition is all of the other materials that will affect the sanitary production of the owner's menu.
And then the flooring, what I see a lot of times is the flooring could be in good condition, but the grout is so pitted that it's holding water, it's allowing bacterial growth to happen. And so I don't want to say it's a simple job, but you could be just chiseling away the old grout and regrouting it, and the floor then looks fantastic.
That's correct. That is a possibility to do. It's expensive, but you can do that, certainly.
Don, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to our next podcast with Don Terrio with Kesko.
Thanks again, Michael, for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Restaurant Realty in 10. If you're interested in restaurants, whether operations, facilities, buying, leasing, or investment, the Restaurant Realty in 10 is for you. Please subscribe to this podcast, and you can also visit therestaurantrealty.com for show notes, topics, and additional information.